Come on, all those that love children, put your hands together. Come on, you love kids. And some of you may or some of you may not know that Pastor Jeff, his wife Paula, on Tuesday went into the hospital with a partially collapsed lung. We've been praying for her all week. She's to come out of the hospital today, but thank you for your prayers. And if that's new to you, please keep her in prayer. She's got a lot on her plate, and we want to support her in prayer. And we know that God does all things well. Let's try that again. God does all things well. And thank you for getting here to church. And we're going to turn our hearts towards the message of the day, which is a message on the kingdom of God. We've been in this series knowing that understanding the kingdom is the key to unlocking the blessings of God. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. And I know there are some people here today that are hungry for all the blessings of God. There's a few hungry folk in the house, including me. So when we say seek first the kingdom, we have to go, well, what is the kingdom? And one of the best chapters to understand the kingdom of God is in Matthew chapter 13. That's where we've been for the last few weeks, because it's a chapter where Jesus says, I want to show you what the kingdom of God is like. And he tells a series of parables or stories and says, the kingdom of God is like this, and the kingdom of God is like this, and the kingdom of God is like this. And so we can see the kingdom and understand kingdom principles, and we've been going over those principles in the series. The first three stories or parables that we've already covered are all about growth and development. Jesus takes us into the world of agriculture, and he says, okay, if you want to understand the kingdom, there's a sower who sows seed into soil, right? That's the first three stories. The three elements are, and if you are taking some notes or you've been with us for a while, the first element is the sower. And who is the sower? The Lord. Someone said us, and that would be those that minister for the Lord, even today, because how does the Lord do his work now? Through people just like you. So the Lord's work, okay? The seed is what? The word, or God's ideas that he's trying to get into the soil, and the soil is our souls. So the Lord is trying to get his ideas, his word, into our souls. Where do we find the ideas of God? He's written them down, actually. That's why we open this book over and over again. We open it so that we will understand the ideas of God. And he says, the kingdom of God is all about understanding these ideas, receiving these ideas, believing these ideas, so that you can grow. Isn't this a picture of growth? Soil, seed, growing. And here's the message, that God has more for you. That in the kingdom of God, there is always more. Tell your neighbor, God has more for you. Just tell him that right now. God does have more. The kingdom of God is about growth. In fact, the next story is about a baker who puts yeast into dough. And when you put yeast into dough, what happens? It rises, or another way to say that would be it grows. So he just emphasizes over and over and over again that the kingdom is about growth and the kingdom is not stagnant. Then he comes to the stories we're going to look at today, and they're two short stories, two short parables that have similarities. See if you can see the similarities in Jesus' words to us today. Verse 44 of Matthew 13 says that the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again, and he sold everything. Everything he owned so he could get enough money to do what? To buy the field. The next story is very similar. Watch this. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who went out looking for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, what did he do? He sold everything he owned and he bought that pearl of great price. Here's what I'd like you to know. You are so valuable to God, and that's what Jesus is saying in this story. Some people look at these stories and say, well, the kingdom of God is like the treasure or like the pearl of great price, and we are the ones who find the kingdom of God, and we have to sell everything to get the kingdom of God. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying here, because that is not in harmony with the teachings that Jesus brings to us about God's kingdom. God's kingdom is not trying to be hidden from us, nor is God's kingdom need to be purchased by us. The kingdom of God comes to us as a gift. It comes freely. There's no one in this room that can earn God's kingdom, that can deserve God's kingdom, and can give enough to get God's kingdom. So what I believe that in this story, the man that's walking through the field is the Lord. Just like the first story, the man that's walking through the field is the Lord. The treasure is you. The field is the world. And in the world, Jesus finds treasure. And you, could I say it like this? You are a treasure. You are. And he goes all in. He gives his life so that he can pay for the whole world. And in that world, he wants to bring his treasure out of that world. You are so valuable to God that he pays for the whole world just so that he can have a relationship with you. So a few things I want to show you in the principles from these verses. One is, if you feel, there's an adversary who's always telling you you're not quite that valuable. The whole message of the kingdom is that God sees more in you than you see in yourself. That he doesn't see you as common or as a commoner. He sees you as part of his family. He would like to adopt you into his family, and he just does it as a gift. Doesn't Ephesians tell us that? Watch this verse. That the kingdom of God doesn't come to us by our buying it, but the kingdom of God comes by grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, you cannot pay for a gift. Can you imagine if someone gave you a birthday gift, and as soon as they gave you the gift, you reached into your pocket and say, well, what do I owe you for that? Or can you imagine Christmas getting all of the gifts, and then the person that gave you the gift submitted a bill to you? Well, and said, by the way, this is what I spent on all of these gifts. And don't worry, I'll give you 30 days to pay it back. It's not a gift if you have to pay for it. And the kingdom is not a gift if you have to pay for it. It comes to us freely. Last week, we pointed out, here's how the gift comes. It comes by believing in Jesus and receiving Jesus. John chapter 1, as many as receive Jesus, as many as receive Christ, he gives you the right to be the children of God, to join the family of God, to be in the kingdom of God. He does this to all who believe. So we receive the kingdom by believing in Jesus and receiving Jesus, and then we're in the family. And he values you so much that he says, I want you to be in the family. I'm coming looking for you. And if you're here and from time to time you feel like God has forgotten you, he's just reminding, no, I haven't done that. If you feel like you've been hidden from God, Maybe you want to write this down. If you feel hidden or forgotten, God is looking for you. Can you see that? The treasure was hidden. And I promise you, there are some people here today, and you feel hidden, or you feel overlooked. People that feel forgotten. People that don't even know if God was paying attention to them this week. And he says, oh, no. To those of you that feel hidden or forgotten, what does he say? Verse 44, the treasure is hidden in the field, but the man found it. I'm just saying that God is looking for you. Now, in Jesus' day, they didn't have SunTrust or Bank of America, and they didn't have safety deposit boxes. And so if you had treasure, you wouldn't want to leave it in your house, because then people would raid your house and find your treasure. They'd know where it was. So what you would do is you would hide your treasure, and they would hide it somewhere in a field, by the third tree, by the fourth rock. They would dig a hole, and they'd put their treasure in there. But then sometimes people would pass on or pass away, and they didn't tell people where they hid the treasure. Or like you, have you ever had something and you held it in your hand and said, this is very valuable. I need to hide it somewhere in my house. You ever done this? I need to hide this somewhere in my house because it's so valuable, and I got to hide it because it's valuable. Have you ever done that? And then thought, oh my Lord, where did I hide it? And that happened in Jesus' day. They would go, was it the third rock by the fourth tree, or was it the fourth tree by the third rock? And they would forget, and they would dig up the whole field trying to find it. But the treasure was still hidden until this man who came walking through the field finds the treasure and says, this treasure is so valuable, I'm going to buy the whole field. Here's what Jesus did. Jesus paid for the whole world. And he's just waiting for his treasure to receive him, because he's already paid for you. And if you feel like God has overlooked you or you've been hidden, he's saying, no. I'm actually looking for you. Didn't Jesus say that? That's my mission. When Jesus was explaining his mission in Luke chapter 19, he said, the Son of Man, or myself, he's talking about himself, the Messiah, the Son of Man has come to do this, to seek and to save people that feel that they have been overlooked, hidden, or forgotten. I've actually come looking for people that are lost. It's not so much that you found God. God found you. Didn't that happen in the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve broke fellowship with God? Who came looking for who? Was it Adam and Eve, like, desperately looking for God? No. God came looking for them. And when you feel overlooked, forgotten, or hidden, Jesus is looking for you. And people in this room feel that way. In Luke 19, when Jesus says, I've come to seek for people who are lost, he was actually sitting in a man's house who felt overlooked, forgotten, and hidden. His name was Zacchaeus. The Bible tells us he was a man of small stature, so even in a crowd, he would be somewhat hidden. In fact, when Jesus came to his community, he couldn't see over the crowd. So what did he do? He went down to the sycamore tree. He climbed up into the tree so he could get some perspective. And have you ever climbed up into a tree? You're kind of hidden in a tree. So he was hidden physically. He was hidden by the tree. He was hidden socially because he was a tax collector. People avoided him because he imposed the taxes of the occupying army of Rome. And he also took a little bit for himself, and people hated that. He was the kind of guy that if you saw him coming down the street, you didn't make eye contact with him. You thought, that's the tax collector. You crossed to the other side of the street. So he was hidden literally physically, socially. But when Jesus comes to his town and he's walking under that sycamore tree, Jesus knows exactly where he is, because Jesus stops and looks up in the tree and says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house. You may be hidden by this culture and by this community, but I have come looking for you. And the religious people criticized Jesus. They said, don't you know whose house you're in? You're in a man who is hidden and forgotten by God. And Jesus says, no. God does not hide and forget people. God comes looking for people. Every person in this room, I would say, from time to time, feels hidden or forgotten. There's a voice that says, they don't really care. They don't really know what I do. And to those people, Jesus says, I am looking for you. One of the greatest kings of all Israel was David. And when it came time to choose a king, he was forgotten by his family. He wasn't even brought to the anointing service. He was forgotten. He was hidden away. And the prophet Samuel had to say, don't you have another son? Isn't there one that's been forgotten? Oh, yeah, that little one, David, the one that was overlooked. When God appeared to Gideon, Gideon was literally hiding. He was down in a hole in the ground. And God said, Gideon, you're a mighty man. And Gideon said, not me. I'm the weakest of the weakest of the weakest. Choose someone else. Even the disciples that Jesus chose had been overlooked and forgotten by others. They grew up in a culture where as young children, they would have studied the scriptures or the Torah. Actually, the boys and the girls in the early years learned the Torah together. Many of them memorizing large sections of the Torah, some of them memorizing the entire first five books of the Bible. And then they would come to their bar mitzvah, and then at the bar mitzvah, the best of the best would be attached to rabbis. The smart ones, the ones they felt had potential, would be attached to rabbis, and the other boys would go back into the family trade or the family business. And when Jesus finds Peter and James and John, what are they doing? Are they studying with the rabbis? No or no? You are so smart. No. They were the ones that were overlooked. They were the ones that were hidden in the, and Jesus comes looking for them and says, I know you weren't picked by the system, but I am choosing you. You guys, I want you to follow me. Others may have forgotten about you. You may feel overlooked and hidden, but I have come looking for you. And every single person in this room, when you feel forgotten, when you feel hidden, know this. Jesus is looking for you because you are more valuable than you think you are. That's what he says. And the kingdom is made up. So at any moment you feel that I've been forgotten, maybe you came today. You can be in a crowd of hundreds of people and feel hidden and forgotten. He says, no, that's exactly the kind of people I come looking for in my kingdom. Then he talks about the pearl of great price. And I want to point something out. That if you are here today or from time to time you feel a deep sense of hurt or pain, Jesus especially comes looking for you. When you feel hurt, because it's so interesting that Jesus chooses in this story to talk about a pearl, because the children of Israel didn't really value pearls. In fact, you can read the first 39 books of the Bible, the books of preparation called the Old Testament, and if you read them, I challenge you, you can do a Bible search. Don't do it right now, but I promise you, when you do it, if you search for the word pearl, you will not find a pearl, not one single pearl, from Genesis all the way through, because they weren't valued. Now, you will find things that were valued, things like diamonds are in the Old Testament, sapphires are in the Old Testament, jasper, gold, valued, but pearls were not valued, which has a message all in itself that when the culture doesn't value you, Jesus does. Get that? That's why he says he's choosing something that they go, pearls? A pearl of great price? Wow. And the other reason Jesus chose a pearl is, how is a pearl developed? A pearl is developed from an irritation or a hurt that gets inside the oyster, and it grows inside the oyster. a pearl grows from a hurt. And if you feel hurt, Jesus still sees great value. There is great value in you. There is no hurt that you've been through that disqualifies you for life in the kingdom. He specializes in looking for people like that. In fact, in Jesus' day, a pearl would look a little different than in our day. In our day, we culture our pearls. Most of the pearls that you see are cultured pearls. They are specially formed, and they look for to get the pearl as round and even, an equidistant, like a round. That's what they're looking for when they make a pearl. In Jesus' day, they form naturally. And a naturally formed pearl doesn't form in that shape. In fact, linguists will tell you that the word pearl comes from the Latin word perum, which means pear-shaped. Because a naturally formed pearl, the kind of pearl Jesus is talking about, is going to be pear-shaped. What else is the shape of a pear? A human tear. The pain that produces the pearl actually attracts Jesus to come looking for you. When you feel really hurt, that attracts Jesus. He says, the kingdom of God is like those that culture says are not valuable, but I come looking for those. Those that feel hidden and forgotten, I come looking for those people. I am the God that brings comfort and help to those who are hurt. And I want my church, I want my people, I want the Church of Hope to be open to those kind of people, because that's who I'm looking for. You don't have to be perfect to come here. In fact, if you're not, we really want you. If you dragged a hurt in here today, that's exactly the kind of person Jesus is looking for. If you brought some pain today, don't worry. You are a pearl of great price to Jesus. I love in Paul's writing when he says, God is the God of all comfort. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Verse 4. Of chapter 1, who comforts us in all our troubles. You brought some trouble in here? You're a pearl of great price. He comforts us in all our trouble so that we may comfort those who also are in trouble with the same comfort that we have received from God. God takes hurt people, he sees them as a pearl of great price, and then he uses them to help other people who were hurt. Isn't that the story of what we call the story of the Good Samaritan? Isn't that the story? We call it the story of the Good Samaritan because we focus on the Good Samaritan. Jesus told that story to focus on the man who was hurt. That was the focal point of the story for Jesus. That there was a man that the thieves saw as a man to exploit. That the priests saw as a man to religiously avoid, that the Levite saw as a man who took too much time, but the Samaritan saw as a man of value. And he says, that's what I want my people to see. I want you to see hurt people as people of value, because you are like that pearl of great price. If you are hurt, Jesus comes looking for you because you are so valuable to God. Just tell your neighbor you're more valuable to God than you think. Just tell him that. You are more valuable to God than you think. Because that's really the big idea of this story. You are highly valued. That's what he's saying, okay? Here's the kingdom of God. It's a place where my ideas are sown into human souls and they grow. And let me tell you the kind of people I'm trying to sow my ideas into. They're surprising people. They're people that feel hidden and forgotten from time to time. They're people that feel hurt from time to time. But I come looking for them and I'm willing. I love them so much, I don't see them as hidden or forgotten. I don't see them hurt and bruised and broken. I see them as a pearl of great price. I see them as a treasure that's worth me giving my life for them. Isn't that what happened? Isn't that the gospel story? That Jesus gave his life so that you could be in the kingdom of God. Verse 44, isn't that what happens? Verse 44, the man finds the treasure, and that's you, the treasure in the field, and what does he do? He sells all he has He goes all in. Verse 46, when he finds the pearl of great price, what does he do? He sells everything he has. He goes all in. And isn't that what Jesus did to have you be in the kingdom of God? Well, Romans tells us that God didn't spare even his own son, that he gave his son as a gift. He gave his son for you, and he will graciously give you all things because Jesus gave his life so that he could have you in his family because you are more valuable than you think you are. That's the story of the kingdom. God sees more in you than you see in yourself. You are more valuable to God than the adversary says you are. And this story says Jesus gave all for you so that you could be in the kingdom of God. That's what we celebrate when we come to communion. We remember that Jesus gave all so that we could be in his family. And now we sit here today and we say, thank you, Jesus, and we believe in you, and we receive you, and we grow in your kingdom because you love us just like we are, broken, bruised. You see something in us we don't see in ourselves, and for that we are truly, truly thankful. That's the kingdom of God. And he's doing that all the time. And so we don't give up everything to obtain the kingdom of God. But we are willing to follow the example of Jesus and give up our stuff or our time, our treasure, our talent, so that we can help other people come into the kingdom of God. We don't do it to obtain the kingdom of God, but we do it to share the kingdom of God. And that's why the kingdom of God grows. When we are willing to follow the example of Jesus and say, he values people so much he gave everything. Do we see people the way Jesus does? Or do we see them as you're too broken for me. You're too hurt. Or do we value people the way that God values them? When we ask the question, how valuable is a human soul to Jesus? How much are you worth to God? Well, you're worth what someone will pay for you. That's what someone's worth is attached to. You're worth the life of his son. That makes you incredibly valuable. And then do we value, as we brush shoulders with people this week, and we will brush shoulders with people, do we value people at the same level that God values them? Do we see them, or do we see them as, oh, you're kind of a forgotten person? You're worth overlooking. Jesus says, no, that's not what I. You've been so hurt. You're damaged goods. Jesus says, no, that damaged good, that's a pearl of great price. That person that you may overlook is worth the world to Jesus. There's a pastor in New York City, A.R. Bernard. He has a small church of about 40,000 people. He hasn't always been a pastor. He hasn't always been a follower of Jesus. He grew up without Jesus. He went into business and commerce, and he was a banker. And there was a little secretary that was assigned to him as his secretary, and she loved Jesus. And she knew that her boss was worth the world to Jesus. So she would tell him about Jesus. Now, this is hard when you are in a boss relationship and your boss is your boss. But she would tell him about Jesus, and she would invite him to church. At first of all, just the social risk of embarrassment and possibly not promotion. But that was more, she valued him more than she valued herself. So like Jesus, she was willing to go all in. And she said, I really would like you to know about Jesus. I'd really like you to come to church with me. And he'd say no, and he would push her off. And she asked over and over and over again. And finally she said one day, there's a guy that's speaking at our small church. And his name is Nicky Cruz, and he has a very interesting story. And so A.R. Bernard went to hear the story of Nicky Cruz. And Nicky Cruz also wasn't always a Jesus follower. He used to be a gang leader in New York City, the Mau Mau gang. He was a thug, a street thug. And while he was running the streets and was a gang leader, there was a pastor named David Wilkerson who said, he may be hurt and he may be forgotten by society, but Jesus values Nicky Cruz. And so he went onto the streets of New York City to tell gang members about Jesus. And he told the gang about Jesus, and they said, we're going to slice you up. We're going to kill you right here, Pastor. This is what we do. We slice people up. He said, hey, you can slice me up into 1,000 pieces, and every piece will tell you Jesus loves you, Jesus died for you, and Jesus has a plan for your life. And that got through to a guy named Nicky Cruz because God valued Nicky Cruz. So now you have this former street gang member in a church service talking about Jesus to a banker, and the same Jesus loved them so much that people were willing to follow the example of Jesus and risk, personal risk, because Jesus values people. And that's the story. Jesus values you, absolutely. He values you, absolutely. He values you, but he also values the person beside you. And he values the person you're going to be with this week. And he values them so much that he wants to put his love, the love of the kingdom, in your heart. So that when you come to that socially awkward moment, you'll go all in. Like Jesus went all in. And it will make the difference in a soul that Jesus values more than you think he does. Even if they are broken, even if they are forgotten, even if they've been hurt, Jesus sees them as special pearls of great price. So let us pray that we would have the same vision that Jesus has for the people around us in our lives, because that's what causes the kingdom to grow. Amen? Right? Let's stand together, church. And as we close our eyes and open our hearts, I'm asking our prayer team to come. And I ask the Holy Spirit to come and open our eyes and just show us how much we are valued by God, and you are incredibly, you are more valuable to God than you think you are. You are. But God also values the person beside you and the person you left at home and the person you work with. He values them so much that he's willing to give up everything. He paid the price for people to be in the kingdom of God. He paid the price for the pearl of great price. He paid the price for the treasure that was hidden in the field. He bought the whole field. He paid for the whole world just to get that treasure. So give us that perspective. And then our prayer, of course, is that every person here would know that you are so valuable to God that you would open your heart to the presence and the power of Jesus Christ. And we pray a simple prayer right now to invite Jesus to be our Lord, to be our Savior. You can't earn this, you can't deserve it, but you can believe it and you can receive it. God so loved you that he gave his son Jesus so you can have eternal life. And here's the prayer that opens our heart to that reality. Please, with all the people around you, whether you prayed this prayer with us before, whether you prayed it 1,000 times, or this is the first time you pray it, here's the prayer. Would you pray it out loud and just say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I open my heart and my mind and my soul to Jesus Christ. I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. I repent of my sins, and I leave them behind. And I receive your love, your grace, your forgiveness. Thank you, God, for loving me. Now help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. That's a good prayer, guys. Amen. Amen. We celebrate that. It's a good prayer. Now, look this way for a moment. If you prayed that kind of prayer, it's essential you tell one of our prayer team before you go, say, I prayed with Scott. They'll get a little booklet into your hand. They'll give you some encouragement to keep growing. Our prayer team is also here to pray for whatever needs are in this room. Maybe you feel hurt. Maybe you feel forgotten. Maybe you need a physical healing. Whatever you need from the Lord, whatever the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to do this today. You're ready to receive that. Come forward and let our team pray with you and pray for you. If you've been a guest here today, thank you so much for coming. We'd love you to come again. We bless you. And if you've never stopped by our VIP room, that's what our guests are, VIPs. It's back on the left-hand side. We'd like to give you some gifts, really meet you and bless you. Thank you for being here in church. Here's what's going to happen, just if you're new. I'm going to pray just to bless. And after that blessing, there's no other benediction. People will come forward for prayer. People will also come forward for communion. And if you would like to receive communion, which is a remembrance of Jesus' work on the cross, there's a piece of bread and there's a cup. And that reminds us that Jesus' body was broken for us and his life's blood was shed for us. We remember that. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive communion. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive prayer. Just a friend of Jesus. And we welcome you to receive these graces. The worship team will be singing. If you want to worship the Lord, you want to go with God's grace, God be with you. We just pray you will walk with Jesus. And just know these two things just before I pray. Know that you are incredibly valuable to God, more valuable than you think you are. And know that the person beside you and the person you work with and the person that's in the same house, they're so valuable to God that Jesus says, I'm going to give my life to buy the whole field. That's how important they are. He goes all in. And let that love guide us this week. And let that love motivate us this week. So here's my prayer. I just bless you guys. I ask for the Lord to be with you. I pray that God will walk ahead of you, behind you, beside you, in you, through you, around you. I pray that you would see the incredible value that God places on human life. And I pray that that love would motivate you in your relationships and the way you talk with people and the way you invite people, the way you talk about Jesus and don't give up on people. Even if they've been broken, even if they've been hurt, don't give up on them. Because Jesus values them so much and so should we. We pray the kingdom of God will grow in, through, and around you. We bless you in Jesus' name and in the strong, mighty name of Jesus. You are very, very blessed. This we pray in the strong name of the resurrected Christ. And everybody says... Amen. Let's give the Lord just a praise. So good to be together. We love you. Church of Hope, we love you. Walk forward for prayer. Walk forward for communion. Bless you guys in the name of Jesus.